It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game right here at VSiN, where sports betting analytics live, actionable sports betting information. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus, Sirius XM channel 204. Matt Santos is alongside, still to come this hour. Man, packed show. Paul Carr on the Champions League. No story from Paul today. We'll go back to story time with Paul Carr on Friday, as he gives us old ESPN stories. Remember the one I picked last week was me and Felica at the casino in Johannesburg. That's a great story. Brady Cannon on Wyndham. PGA Tour continues post-PGA Championship this week. We'll get Brady's thoughts on the PGA pass and on the Wyndham moving forward this week. And Chrissy Andrews, everybody. Always great to have my mishpucha on the show. Chrissy will be here later as well. It's all brought to you by BetMGM. Proud sponsors of a numbers game right here at VSiN. By the way, Bruins just facing off. Hope everybody got their bets in. We'll give you the reminder. Andy McNeil on both the Bruins game one and, of course, for the series. Maybe if you didn't get in on game one, maybe there'll be some live opportunities. We shall see. We'll keep you updated on that. Let us bring in the aforementioned Chris Felica. What a coincidence. He is the bear from ESPN's College Game Day, the glue that holds that show together, my opinion. Also, of course, half of the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast. And what else? Oh, yeah. Daily Wager does it all over there. Ladies and gentlemen, it's our friend Chris Felica. Good morning to you, Chris.
Good morning, Gil. I wanted to commend you on a job well done with the voiceover work on Hard Knocks last night.
There was a picture being circulated of Liv Schreiber who narrates Hard Knocks, and more than one person thought there was a similarity in appearance. Well, thank you. I enjoy doing Hard Knocks, and somehow the paychecks don't come to my house, though, Chris. I don't know. It's a very funny thing. Go elsewhere.
We gotta fix that.
I did not receive my paycheck. Remember that from Office Space? All right. So not to get serious on you here, but you and I have not had a chance, at least publicly, to talk about all the goings on in college football. And I know yesterday with the news of both the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Postponing / canceling, whatever you want to call it now. Obviously, the dominoes have started. And so you wonder now at this point, ACC, SEC, Big 12 of the Power 5 holding out still. I mean, I just sort of throw it out to you, Chris, because there's so many questions asked, but how are you handicapping this right now? Let's start with that. How do you feel this is going to end up, or do you have any feel for how this is going to end up?
I think we're still an underdog to play of the year. I think Pete touched on it a little bit earlier. It's kind of how I feel too. Everyone got all excited. Oh, the Big 12 is going to play in that. Now, what the Big 12 said is they're going to pursue moving forward with the hopes of playing, release the schedule. And that's where we are. Remember, the Big Ten and Pac-12 released the schedule last week or 10 days ago and blew out their seasons yesterday. So, I mean, the fact that they released the schedule and said they're moving forward to play doesn't mean they're playing. So I still think playing is a slight underdog. But the fact that they're still going to continue to have this conversation with the hopes of playing is good news, I guess, on a day that a lot of people kind of saw coming yesterday. We're hoping it wasn't going to happen. But it did, and here we are.
What do you think about, you know, Kirk, your buddy Kirk Herbstreit yesterday said something very interesting, I thought, where he was like, he said, I don't recall ever seeing a school within a conference publicly bucking the conference position like Nebraska did with the Big Ten's call to say, we're canceling fall football. Nebraska's like, we don't agree with this. And they said it out loud. Are you with Kirk on that? You ever remember anything like this?
And it wasn't just Nebraska; it was Ohio State.
Right.
Gene Smith came out and said, "Yeah, we voted to delay the start of the season and try and play eventually." But you talked about a guy who stepped into just a horrible situation in Kevin Warren with the Big Ten, replacing Jim Delaney. He's kind of viewed now. I don't want to say public enemy number one, but like his decision did not go well overall at the conference. And for Kirk to come out and say that, just knowing Kirk, his personality, and he, He'll take a stand when he needs to take a stand or he has a strong opinion. But for Kirk to come out and this is a kid who grew up in the Big Ten. His dad played in the Big Ten. He played in the Big Ten. His dad coached in the Big Ten. This has been his life. And for him to kind of come out and point this out, the Big Ten members were kind of openly voicing concern about the decision of their commissioner. That's a little alarming, which leads me to believe that there really is a lot of, a lack of harmony and a lot of disappointment and maybe bitterness right now with that decision. And the other thing that Reese Davis that I mentioned on the show yesterday, which is something that I completely agree with as well. The Pac-12 was pretty transparent yesterday, where they released a pretty thorough PDF about their studies and the decisions and they reached why they're not playing. The Big Ten better be the same. Kevin Warren was great. He answered every question he possibly could yesterday. But if they have this medical advice that says it's not safe to play, we can't play, then let's see. I think we need to judge what the Big Ten has versus what the Pac-12 has. And because the ACC and the SEC are getting advice and saying it's safe to have a season. So I think it would be fair to judge just to see to compare how certain leagues and certain medical professionals that leagues are dealing with are looking at this thing. Just put it out there for people to see.
It's Gil Alexander and Chris Felica on a numbers game here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204. I agree with that. I was trying to get at that in the first segment. I do think there has to be transparency with all this stuff. Let me ask you about all this buzz about, you know, teams playing out of conference, which that ain't going to happen. What about the notion, though, of players, right? So this is sort of a can of worms that I think is about to open up. What about the notion of players who are like, look, I decided to play here to play fall football. It's not happening. Isn't it my right to now go elsewhere? How do you think that will develop?
It's their right. But my question is, where are the scholarships coming from? Do these teams that potentially could be playing in the ACC, SEC, and Big 12 suddenly have scholarships? Maybe they have. Maybe players have left those programs and so on. But like, you can't just – it's great to want to leave, but you have to have somewhere to leave too. And if there are no scholarship availability, it's open – then that doesn't help them out a lot. And I still wonder, are these players really going to leave? And even if there is a scholarship to open somewhere else to go to a school that it's a coin flip at best, whether we actually play in the fall. So I don't know. This goes back to the argument a couple of years ago where people were talking about the transfer and the movement and the early signing. And I think sometimes you need to make a rule to kind of save the players from themselves. And that's why I was so hesitant about allowing all these open transfers. Oh, I'm going to leave. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. So I think a lot of these players, I think once they get a couple of days to think about it a little bit and realize it probably isn't going to happen or it might not happen, it might not be in my best interest. I don't think we're going to see this massive flood of people transferring like I think was the immediate knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, and as you say, if there even is anywhere to transfer to play football once all is said and done. We're talking to Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A on Twitter, the great Chris Felica, who's kind enough to join us again this morning on a numbers game at VSiN. You may hate me for asking this question out loud, but to the extent you can answer this, if there is some form of college football this fall during this pandemic, what does game day look like, do you think?
I think game day would still go on the road. From what I've gathered in the conversations that we have had, is that it's actually better to do the show from the road just because of the quarantine rules in the state of Connecticut and bringing people on the ESPN campus. It would actually be better to do the show on the road with a skeleton type crew and limiting the number of people that would travel. We would, I'm guessing, do a show inside of the stadium potentially with either warm-ups going on behind us or just an empty stadium. But maybe from the site of the what would be the ABC primetime game that Kirk would call. I'm sure that it would be a situation where I've heard rumors that if we were to go on the road, no ride share, rent your own car, you get tested immediately when you get to site, can't leave the room until you get your test results back. So we would be operating under a lot of these same rules that players and teams and coaches are operating under right now. So if indeed we do play, I would expect game day to be on the road and coming from the game every week, most likely the ABC prime game. That's just my guess. I don't know that for sure, but I do think if there is a season, you're going to see us on the road.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, and I think I speak for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, probably millions, that game day more than any other show associated with any sport. Someone could tell me if I'm wrong, but just off the top of my head, I think game day more than any show for any sport is a slice of Americana. Like, we love ESPN's College Game Day so much in that atmosphere. So, we want to know what you guys are going to be up to if this happens and in what form. And, of course, we hope you all stay safe all the while. Do you think if there is no college football that you may end up with assignments you've never had before, Chris?
That's a great question. I mean, I think if you look at the Kentucky Derby being in the fall, you got the Preakness being in the fall, you got the Masters being in the fall. These are all things that I have worked on in the past. So I certainly would be more than wide open and willing to cover and work on those things again. Obviously, if there is, it's been out there in the media. I haven't spoken to Kirk or Chris or anybody about it, but if there were no college football and the NFL was to televise a game on Saturday and ESPN would cover it, could they do that game in theory? Yeah, they could. Would I join them like I do on the ABC primetime game? I'm sure Kirk would ask me and Chris would ask me, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to. I don't even know if it's contractually doable or possible for ESPN to do that game. But I saw that out there yesterday. Like if there's a Saturday game, ESPN would want to do it. So I don't know if they could, but I would think if they did do a game on Saturday night, you might want your Saturday night primetime crew to do it. So we'll see what happens.
Last couple things about all the drama that is college football right now during these very strange times. Does any of this, Chris, because of all your travels, no one travels more than you guys do across this great land into every corner of the country. If I told you, like if I came to you from the future and I was like, look, there's going to be this pandemic and sports are going to get canceled and we're going to get to the college football season and then there's going to be a divide. Is there anything surprising about this divide?
No, not at all. No, it's unfortunate. The one thing that really frustrated me yesterday was, and despite seeing this coming, it was I think it was Pete Dammel who first sent out the report that the Big Ten is now starting to think about as a backup yeah. playing, and then just now
I noticed that.
What have you been doing since February? Just now on August 11th, we're gonna think about maybe if we have to. What the heck have you been doing?
Unbelievable.
It just goes to show that college football is a rudderless ship in the leadership vacuum, and I do think. Yes, it's the virus, and yes, there are health concerns, and that is number one. But you and I had a similar conversation about Major League Baseball, where at some point the delay in starting the Major League Baseball season really wasn't about the virus. It was about a work stoppage and a labor dispute. Mm-hmm. I get a sense here that, yes, the virus is still first and foremost, and player safety is important, but I kind of just have this little craw, this real feeling stuck in my craw. It's just about a little bit more than just a virus. That this whole charade of amateur athletics and keeping their cash cow. This has a little bit to do with that until they can try and figure this out some more. So again, I know nothing. Obviously, no one's going to tell me about it if it's true or not. But I just have a feeling there's a little bit more to it. And the virus just kind of gives them a little bit more cover.
Yeah. Well, I'll put a bow on it with this, because I just want, you know, to make it clear to folks, because everybody, you know how it is today. Everyone's like, oh, Gil thinks this and Felica thinks that. You, I would imagine, in the end, I mean, let's just be level-headed about this. You probably, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but is this accurate? You're conflicted about all this.
I'm very conflicted, because I want, look, it's my job. It's what I love. It's what I do. I want to see college football, though, because, and you mentioned traveling throughout all parts of the country, and you meet and meet people and visit certain towns and cities, and you go to certain restaurants, and you develop relationships, and you don't want to see those people hurt, because they're the ones that are going to be hurt the most. Mom and pop restaurants and things like that that aren't going to get the tourism and the fan and the tailgate dollars that they normally would get. They're the ones going to be hurt. But at the same time, if the medical professionals are saying it's not safe to play, it's too much of a risk, we don't know enough about the virus, or too many unknowns, and you can't play, then you have to just deal with the hand that we've been dealt. We had an opportunity to put ourselves in a better position to be able to play in the fall, and we weren't able to do it. So now here we are. But I hope something happens with the Big 12 and the ACC and the SEC starting at the end of September, allegedly. Hopefully that can get done.
We all hope it can. We all hope it can in the proper conditions. And if the conditions aren't proper, then many of us think otherwise. We're all conflicted. We're all conflicted. Yeah. Chris, let me leave you with something more cheery. Sports that are actually going on right now. You know where I'm going. Yeah. The Islanders and the Capitals. Uh-oh. Me versus you. Actually, you versus me in that respect. Islanders versus Capitals. Trots.
I don't know. Not really.
You don't give the Islanders a shot here? Is that what you're saying?
I think have a shot, but I don't like the matchup for them. I think they were facing a dead team walking in Florida in the first round, and that matchup was just perfect for them. I think I like the Capitals. I know some people kind of like the Islanders as a little bit of a wise guy type play, but I don't know. I don't see it. I like the Capitals. I think the play. And the prices come down a little bit, so I might consider sending something on the Caps here in the series.
How bitter were you the other day? By the way, Caps and Islanders face off today, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. Caps are -135 in Game 1. Andy McNeil has the Caps in the series, and he said, wait to hear about John Carlson here in Game 1 before you make a bet on Game 1. How bitter were you that the New York Rangers, you being an Islanders guy, the New York Rangers ended up with the number one pick in the NHL draft and a shot at Alexis Lafreniere?
It was perfect. So now the Rangers get 8 to 10 years of Lafreniere, Igor, and Panarin. I mean, is that just perfect or what? Here are the Islanders in their own building with nothing, and that's what I was talking to you about last week. Like you just knew that a team that was in the bubble was going to be one of those non-playoff qualifiers that was going to get in, lose, and then wind up getting the first pick. And of course, it's the Rangers, and here come the Islanders. Now they get to face the Capitals in a series they're probably going to lose. But yeah, no, that did not sit well with me. You were talking about sports that are still going on, and I know you're going to have Paul Carr on, and it's a match that is not today. But I might take a look at Atletico Madrid to win the Champions League. I think they're right around 8-1 or so. And the reason I play that, they should beat Leipzig with Werner no longer there. It's probably an under match tomorrow. Maybe if play draw, maybe Madrid to win 1-0. And the reason I'd play him to win the entire tournament is they'll get PSG or Atlanta in the next round. And defensively, they should be able to kind of muck it up a little bit, kind of like it did against Liverpool, at least that first leg, and let Manchester City and Bayern knock themselves out in the other semifinal. So if Atletico gets to the final and you're holding them at 8-1, then you can get a position on the other end where you can probably guarantee yourself some money if you want to play some off and play Bayern and Man City under it. So I'm going to take Atletico Madrid to advance and Atletico Madrid to win all figure on 8-1 or so.
Atletico Madrid to advance and Atletico Madrid at around 8-1, you said, to win the champions.
Yeah, I think, I've seen 7-1, 8-1, somewhere around there. And I think the total for tomorrow was 2. It's plus money as well. So
right.
I couldn't come on here and just not give a pick and just do like sports radio type segment with you. I felt obligated to give you a pick. And there was one horse today at Saratoga that I liked in the seventh race at Saratoga, the number 10 horse Voliero, was 5-1 in the morning line. Jim Bond at Saratoga, so number 10 horse in the seventh race.
Number 10 horse, seventh race.
Valero.
Valero, you said?
Voliero, yes. V-O-L-I-E-R-O.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Got a horse. Matt got these, he's got picks left and right, Felica. All right, write them all down.
Perfect.
We'll put them all down in the newsletter. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for all the honest answers. I know it's not a fun time, but if there was ever a time to talk about non-sports betting things, it's this, because we all want to bet college football. We all want to watch it, so we appreciate it. Thank you, man.
Of course, and you can ask Paul Carr about another World Cup story about who I was rooting for in the final group stage of the U.S. group as well. You can ask him about that as well for the union. He'll probably have a good response for that.
All right, who was Chris rooting for in the group stage back then? All right, that'll be interesting. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Wallet over heart. Give you
a
spoiler alert.
Chris Valica right here on the Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. We will have Paul Carr with his Champions League picks next, right here on the Numbers Game.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Numbers Game, proudly sponsored by Indeed from the Indeed.com studio. Find the high impact hire your business needs at Indeed.com/high impact. That's Indeed.com/high impact for more information. It's Gil Alexander. Let's bring him in without further ado. He is the host of the Expected Value podcast, works over there at True Media Network. Ladies and gentlemen, he's Paul Carr. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Gil. We have Champions League on a Wednesday in August, and I don't know what's going on.
I am all discombobulated about that. You had to remind me yesterday. There's so many sports. I'm like, oh, yes, that's right. By the way, last week, not a lack of human achievement at all. Good Lord, goals everywhere.
That was fun, yeah.
Before you get into your picks for today and tomorrow, Felica just said, he goes, ask Paul Carr who I needed in that group stage or who I was rooting for in that group stage back in Johannesburg. Do you remember that?
I do. He took so the famous U.S. Algeria game where Landon Donovan scored the goal, and Felica had money on Algeria in that game. So I don't think he made it super public because we might have thrown him out of the broadcast center.
That's right. Yeah, that's just awful.
Yeah, he's rooting against America.
Betting is a beautiful thing, though, isn't it? Betting will do that. Rooting against
America. What did I say? Politics makes strange bedfellows. Well, betting makes stranger bedfellows.
It really does. All right, we don't have much time, so let's get into it. These are all single-leg knockout games in Lisbon. Extra time, PKs if needed. All right, I give you the floor, sir. What do you like?
Yeah. So today we've got there's one game each of the next 4 days. Today is Atalanta against PSG. This is kind of a weird game. It's Atalanta's kind of the David here. They're a relatively small spending club in Italy. PSG is the giant, owned by Qatari money basically, and spends it all high price players. But Atalanta has been really good this season. The thing is, they've tailed off the last month or so. If you asked me to make this pick a month ago, I'd be on Atalanta without a doubt. Now I'm a little more hesitant. So Atalanta is this high scoring team, 3 goals a game basically, but they're only 5 goals in the last 5 games. But they're playing this PSG team that has literally played 2 competitive games since March, because the French league cut their season early. So they've had a couple cup finals in the last month and didn't look great, as you would probably expect in those games. So it's a question of, is Atlanta going to have the high intensity that they've had for much of the season? I think it's going to be enough. I'm going to take Atalanta on the goal line, plus half a goal against PSG, minus 105, the price for me. It's a really trendy pick, but PSG struggles. They have a lot of injuries themselves. Kylian Mbappe probably isn't going to play. Mark Verratti is out. Angel Di Maria is suspended. So it's a strange game, but I don't think PSG sees teams like Atalanta as far as pressing goes. I think it'll take some time to adjust, and that's enough for Atalanta to at least pull out, you know, even over 90 minutes. So give me Atalanta plus half a goal.
All right. That's noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, as per usual when these things usually happen. Then what about tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I'm looking at Atletico Madrid to win against RB Leipzig. Atletico Madrid is maybe the third best team left in this tournament, and Bayern and Man City are both on the other half of the bracket here in the quarters. So I'm taking Atletico to win, plus 140. This is about experience and Atletico doing what Atletico does, which is play stifling defense, get a couple goals, that's it. They allow the second fewest goals and expected goals in Europe's top five leagues this season. And since the restart, they only allowed 6 goals in 11 games, and 2 of those goals were against Barcelona. 7 wins, 4 draws since the restart for Atletico. They have the experience here. They've been runner-up twice in the last 6 seasons. The only team to eliminate Atletico in the knockout stage since then has been, they all had Cristiano Ronaldo. RB Leipzig, breaking news, does not have Cristiano Ronaldo.
Breaking news.
Yeah, they don't even have Timo Werner, who is their top scorer, who has already transferred to Chelsea. It's a weird byproduct of the way these seasons have fallen. So he scored 34 goals for them this year, which is more than twice as many as any other player on RB Leipzig. They looked pretty beat up and kind of lethargic toward the end of the Bundesliga season. So I'd be surprised if they came out here and were super sharp. So I think Atletico takes care of business here. They win this one outright, plus 140, the price for me.
All right. Atalanta plus a half goal versus PSG today, around minus 105. Shop around for that. Tomorrow, Atletico Madrid over RB Leipzig, straight up plus 140 is the price on that. And in 30 seconds here, you got a futures play for us in the Champions League?
I mean, we always talk about there's not a ton of value in futures, but if there's one here, I think it is Atletico. Like I said, they're the best team on this half of the bracket. You can get them around plus 800 to win the title or plus 250 to make the final, both of which I think are decent prices. I mean, you're probably just about as good as betting the individual lines, especially for the title, because Atletico would probably be a pretty sizable underdog against Bayern or Man City in the final. But if you're looking to play some futures, I think those are the ones to look at. What I'm really rooting for, I have an Atalanta 80-1 ticket that I got in January, February. So man, that's what we're rooting for that in a bunch of different ways today.
Felica likes Atletico at 8-1 as well. He stole your thunder there, previous segment there. Oh, first he bets Algeria, then he's stealing your thunder on a future.
Yeah. What are we going to do with him?
I don't know. I'm worried about him now after the Algeria thing. Thank you, Paul. Yeah. Appreciate it, man.
You bet. Talk to you later this week.
All right, my man. Paul Carr will be back on Friday to talk about the weekend action as well. Let's do golf. Brady Cannon next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
The NBA is in full swing, and Quick Picks has all your basketball parlay action. Win up to $50,000 per ticket. You bet. It's fun. Automatic 100% first-time deposit bonus for VSiN customers. Quick Picks, the real money parlay props game based on daily fantasy scoring, has live NBA matchups featuring all your favorite stars for big payouts. At Quick Picks, top winners are active every day, and the game format makes it easy for you to submit multiple tickets each time you play. With Quick Picks, you pay little and win a lot. Who doesn't love that? Play MLB, PGA, NASCAR, and UFC. VSiN customers can now play Quick Picks through this special offer. Get a 100% automatic deposit bonus up to $100 when you sign up for a new Quick Picks account. Sign up now. No need to type in a promo code. Go to quickpicks.com/VSiN bonus to find out more. That's quickpicks.com/VSiN bonus. Speaking of the NBA, man, you see Dame Lillard dropping 61 yesterday? Tickling the strings to 61 balloons, as we used to say back at Metropolitan Basketball School in D.C. Dame Lillard and the Blazers get a much-needed win yesterday. NBA card today? I don't know. I think I'm going to just see what OKC has in play, because I think they're in full tank mode for seeding. That would be my one play, the fate of OKC. But have to check what their plans are with their lineups as well. Let's talk a little golf. We have not done that with this gentleman. He is the co-host, along with Wes Reynolds, of Long Shots here on the network, the greatest golf betting show there ever was. Oh, no, by the way, he's won a super contest. It's Brady Cannon, everybody. How you doing, Brady?
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Doing very well. Brady, we didn't get a chance to talk real quick. PGA, Colin Morikawa, chips in at 14 to break a seven-way tie at 10 under. Then the drive to the green heard round the world. He drives the short par four. Eagles, Katie Barr the door, Colin Morikawa with his first major on the PGA Tour. I think everybody's in consensus. I would imagine you agree with this. You can't necessarily put him up in the tier of the, let's say, the Kepkas and the JTs of the world, but he's certainly knocking on that door, isn't he?
Absolutely, yeah, and that's reflected in the world golf rankings. He goes up to number five, which, you know, that kind of surprised me that he ascended that high, but I would say this guy is pretty close to being a top 10 player in the world. His iron play is probably top three or five in the world for sure. And he happened to be extremely accurate with the driver for the PGA, led the field in driving accuracy. And then what was a little bit of a surprise is he led the field in strokes gained putting. And he came into the week ranked 164th on tour in strokes gained putting. So, like my partner Wes Reynolds says, you don't have to be a great putter, but you have to putt great for a few days. And that's exactly what he did. I thought the tournament was remarkable. And, Gil, I don't know if you saw the news, but the Masters has announced that they will not have the patrons in November. And that's certainly a shame. And the roars at Augusta are a part of that entire experience. But if it's anything like the PGA, I'm fine. I thought that first major of 2020 was absolutely fantastic, from the play, the competition, the drama, to the TV coverage, to the golf course itself. I really enjoyed it wholeheartedly.
And I know you've spent some time in the Bay too. I just became homesick for San Francisco. I really did. I was like, oh man. Because I used to play Harding Park all the time with my buddies over there, Aaron and Omari. Shout out to them. So I got homesick with that. It was beautiful overhead shots of the Bay Area and a great tournament there at Harding Park, which you can play for, I think, like $68, by the way, for those listening. If you want to make a trip to San Francisco, it's all it'll cost you there. All right, so it's Wyndham this weekend as we move on from the PGA over there at Sedgefield Country Club. And, you know, usually the first thing I look at, just, you know, sort of when I handicap these, I look at, what's like historical strokes gained on this particular course? Man, and usually, you know, there's a couple people, it's sort of like a dead heat between a couple golfers. This one, it's like all Webb Simpson, Brady. And it's reflected in the number. He's 10 to 1. But he's like over 40 rounds at this course. Stupid good strokes gained.
Yeah, no, this is Webb's event, and I don't know if you know that, but his third daughter, he named Wyndham after this tournament, the first time he won it, he named his daughter Wyndham. So obviously he's pretty well tied to this event, but, you know, not only his stats, but his odds too. I mean, the next closest guy on the odds board is almost 10 points higher. He's at 10, and I think Kepka's in the neighborhood of, you know, 18. So he has a distinct advantage here, and I went ahead and played him. And I hate to take a guy at 10 to 1. I was hoping I could get 11 or 12, but I had to just bite. Also took him for a top 5, but, I mean, he's finished top 3 the last 3 years in a row. It's really hard to ignore the chalk as far as Webb in this event. Now, I took a few other guys further down the board, but you're right. This guy is, I mean, if there's ever a horse for a course, he's maybe more dominant here than any other player since, you know, Tiger Woods at Bay Hill and that type of thing.
Yeah, maybe a 10 to 1, you know, which normally we'd be like, there's no value in them. Maybe that is a play. What are you betting here real quick in about 2 minutes, Brady? What do you got here?
Yeah, I took Webb. I took Billy Horschel at 33 to 1, and there's corollary courses here. Eastlake, where they play the Tour Championship, is also a Donald Ross design, like Sedgefield, and Horschel's won there. He also did well at Pinehurst in 2014, another Donald Ross design, and Horschel's been in pretty good form. Ryan Moore, who's won the Wyndham before, had a good tournament a few weeks ago in Minnesota, got him at 48 to 1, and he's also finished top 5 a couple times at East Lake. And then a long shot, Bryce Garnett, who's really good in the stats across the board, got him at 150 to 1. And then just last night, I added Harris English, who's been in tremendous form. Four straight top 20s, had a big Sunday at the PGA Championship. His stats are really through the roof. He does well at the Corollary Course, the RBC Heritage. So, that's kind of what I looked at. Obviously, the stats, I think this week is really going to be much different from the PGA Championship. Rather than power and length, you're going to need more accuracy and precision and scrambling around these smaller Donald Ross greens with some of the runoff areas and that type of thing. And then a couple top 20 bombs as well. Jim Furyk and Zach Johnson, the old veterans, they're on the cusp there of the FedEx points to get into next week's playoff. And both guys have had success here in the past. So took a shot with top 20 finishes on those two gentlemen.
All right. There it is on the screen at VSiN.com and the VSiN app. Brady with futures on Simpson, Horschel, Moore, and Garnett. Top 10s on Horschel, Moore, Furyk, Johnson, Zach, that is, and Garnett. Top 5 finish on Webb Simpson. He just mentioned his top 20s. Brady, who, by the way, has won 3 futures already, Phoenix, Bay Hill, and FedEx St. Jude. And then a couple matchups. Kisner at minus 110 over Lowry, and then Lucas Glover at minus 130 over Patrick Rogers. Brady, sorry it was so short this week. We'll make it back to the original long segment next week, but a whole bunch swirling in the winds in sports. So appreciate your appearance nonetheless, sir.
Yes, of course. And one note, I was just alerted on Twitter. I think the graphic there says I have those guys for top 10 finishes. Those should be top 20.
Top 20.
I did not play any top 10 this week. Played Webb for a top 5 and the other for top 20s.
Thank you for the clarification. We appreciate that. So those are top 20s. Horschel, Moore, Furyk, Johnson, and Garnett. Coming back with Chrissy Andrews. It's a numbers game at Visa in the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
BetMGM Sports wants you to start out with amazing odds during this amazing August. That's why they're giving new customers a chance to win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 wager on the Nuggets-Clippers game today. And if either team hits a three, you win $100. All you got to do is sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of the special offer. There's never been a summer like this before, and there's never been a better time to sign up at BetMGM Sports. Download the BetMGM app, that is, today, and use promo code VSIN100 to win 100 United States dollars in free bets when you bet $1 on the Nuggets-Clippers game and either team hits a three. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Real quick updates on everything. Just some news coming across the wire. Big 12 college football, they're proceeding. That just came across. Big 12 proceeding as if they are going to play fall football. No, as Brady mentioned, no fans at the Masters, not a surprise. I don't know that I've missed no fans in golf, by the way. So nothing really bothers me with that. Although I'm sure if I was going to the Masters this year for the first time in my life, I would be really bothered by that. So no fans at the Masters. And then the Bruins. So first period, final seconds ticking off here. The first period in Boston. in the bubble, I should say. That's how trained we are to look up and see where the game is. In the bubble in Toronto, Carolina and Boston, game one. Carolina took a 1-0 lead on an Edmondson goal, and then Boston moments ago with the equalizer, Pastrnak from Marchand and Bergeron, 1-1. Later they'll go to Nashua and Leachme. So 1-1 there, headed 8 seconds left in the first period there between the Bruins and the Hurricanes. Let's bring him in, ladies and gentlemen. He is my mishpucha. He is Chrissy Andrews. He runs the South Point Hotel Casino here in right here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Good morning to you, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing very well. By the way, Chris, the author of And Then One Day, or It's Then One Day, I should say, available where all books are sold. Great stories from his nearly 40 years in bookmaking throughout the state of Nevada. Can we say nearly 40 years? Yeah, I think that's right. Huh?
No, it's more than 40. It's 41 now.
41?
So, 40 and counting.
Oh, my God.
41 and counting.
We're all getting old. All right, so I know you're pretty level-headed. You're pretty nonchalant about things that happen in sports as it pertains to from the bookmaking side of things. But I would imagine when college football conferences start to get canceled, that gets your attention. What does this mean for you? I know there's some estimates, $50 million this will mean in lost revenue if college football entirely gets canceled. I can't imagine this is ho-hum for you at this point. You're probably looking at all the news as carefully as all of us are.
No, I'm spending all day really looking at the news and trying to figure out what to do. I've already had a conversation this morning with Lou Vargin, one of our supervisors over at the sportsbook, and just deciding on a couple things. And, you know, I mean, it is, you know, I'm in a weird situation, you know, because as bookmakers, we have to be very reactive. You know, we can't really cause a lot, but we have to react and, you know, kind of play the hand we're dealt. But there's a lot of things we could do with props and all that other stuff. So, you know, we're certainly looking at a few things. You know, but again, I still have one daughter who's in college, and, you know, she's going for this advanced biology degree, smart kid. She has a lab. She has to go to the lab. I mean, it has to be in person. But everything else, it looks like she's going to be taking everything else online. And I applaud that. I think it's great. So if I'm happy for her taking everything online, it's hard for me to say, yeah, these kids should get out there and play football. But very selfishly, for me personally, you know, yeah, sure. It would help me quite a bit in my business if they were out there playing football. So, you know, I have some very mixed emotions about it. I certainly understand why the Pac-12 and the Big Ten made that decision. You know, I mean, like I said, hopefully that we do have some football this fall. I still think it's not a done deal yet. I know with the Pac, the Big 12 and the ACC and SEC, right now the plan is to go ahead with it. I'm not sure that's going to come to fruition. And like I said, part of me hopes it does, but I would understand if it didn't.
That, I mean, all of that pretty much sums up exactly how I feel, right? It's like, selfishly, from a livelihood standpoint, of course I want to see football. My God. But, you know, my brain kicks in and I'm like, yeah, no, he shouldn't be playing football, you know? So I'm just, listen, people can have their opinions on everything, but that's how I feel about it. So we're all in that same boat. I think Chris Velika had the same sort of attitude before as well. It's just, you know, it's where we are. And none of us ever thought we would be here with this. Not to be doomsday-ish with it, but do you think, let's just take the worst, because we're all praying for the NFL. That's a different animal as far as I'm concerned, because of amateur lack of, you know, one is amateur and one is not. If neither were to get played, let's just go horrible here for a second. If neither were to be played, do you think it would change the very nature of how sports books conduct business from here on out? In other words, would it just cause everybody to change their attitudes about brick and mortar sports books because they wouldn't necessarily think to go in them for a long time? Oh, there's a chime for that. That wonderful question.
No, that's my work computer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this will have some ramifications, certainly in the near term, on how we look at some things. I think we have to, you know, look at some rules and how we phrase them. As far as people coming into sportsbook, I think it will have some sort of an effect. I think there's a lot of people that will, you know, want to make their bets either in person or via their app and then stay at home and watch the games. But I still think you're going to get a certain number of people that, first of all, want to go to the games themselves, and secondly, really like coming to the sports book. I mean, there's an energy to it. And, you know, I've been doing this all my life. And, you know, there's certainly times when I stay home and watch games and all that. And other times when you're in the sports book and watching games, and it's a whole different vibe. I can tell you that. I understand to each his own. Some guys like being home and alone and all that. But a lot of other folks don't like that. They'd rather be here with all the excitement. And even though half the room is probably rooting against you, that's just, you know, that's just part of human nature, I believe. So I think it will have some effect. But as far as, like, if you ask me, you know, in 10 years, as long as we you know, everything kind of gets back to normal, I think we'll look back and say, it probably didn't have that big of an effect. But it will in the short term, I think.
Yeah, there's nothing more. There's nothing. There's no feeling. And people can judge me for how it is. But I'm sure if they're listening to this show, they're kind of the same ilk. There's no greater feeling for me, it's just the way I'm wired, than walking into a sports book. It's the greatest thing in the world, the greatest invention there ever was. Oh, my God, it's a sports book. I would just, you know, I just miss, as we all do, that that vibe and that buzz that's in one. So we hope it gets some form, you know, certainly pro, for God's sakes. Let's not even go there. But maybe.
Well, let me throw this out there. Yeah. I hate to interrupt you, but let me throw this out there real quick, too. A lot of guys that have been betting online, and they come to Nevada and they say, you know, God, I bet this game. And after the game, I walked up and I got cash. I didn't just look at my account and some number changed in a computer screen. They gave me actual money. That felt great. I said, okay, yeah, I kind of, that's a hard feeling to duplicate on a computer screen.
Yeah. No, it is. Nothing like holding cold, hard cash in your hands. You're doing good. Are you coming in often, or what's your story here?
I'm probably coming in, you know, 4 or 5 days a week for those interested. I had a meeting with my doctors yesterday via teleconference. He says everything's on schedule. I was hoping to get the nod that my immune system was just the same as everybody else's, but he says, no, you got another year to go, kid. So, you know, but so everybody's being careful. I have to be a little extra careful, but that's, man, listen, it's a small price to pay right now.
Yeah. And not to, yeah, there were days where if I had told you that you'd get that diagnosis, you'd be like, oh my God, it's the greatest thing in the world. Right. So this is like,
for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's leave on that note, because I think we're all, listen, we all love you, man. And that's good news. All said and done, that's good news. So take care.
Well, thank you.
Follow
thank
all you. The all the precautions, and we'll hope to get you back in here with actual football.
Well, we already talked to some of the powers that be, and we plan on doing that Monday morning show. And
yes.
You know, I can't wait.
Yes, guessing lines, we pray. Season, yeah, I don't even know what season this would be.
Lines to guess.
That's right.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Let's just hope we have lines to guess. Hopefully we'll do that. Love it. Thanks, Chris. We look forward to that.
All right, my friend. Thanks.
Good, great. Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha. Man, I can't. I really, let's do guessing lines. Let's do guessing lines with Chrissy here at the South Point on Monday. Then let's do the Megapod at Circa with Mikey and Todd on Thursdays. Can we return to normalcy with all that? That'd be awful. That would be awesome. That's the fall we're all looking forward to. Once again, we're offering our best price of 2020 on short and long-term packages right here at VSiN. We even offer a free trial if you still aren't sure which option is best for you. Take advantage of this offer before the price goes up for football season. Subscribe today and put the VSiN experts to work for you with all of this. Daily email updates that include our best bets from every show, host, and guest, 24/7 video access, Point Spread Weekly, our annual NFL betting guide, and more. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today and get in on this special offer before it expires. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Whole bunch of picks. Where are those going, Matt, for people who want to know where the picks are? Where can they get them every day?
They will be available on Point Spread Weekly.
All right. Point Spread Weekly. Every day we have all the picks listed from every show, not just this one. On this show alone, golf picks today, soccer, tennis. What did we miss? Baseball? It's all in there.
Horse racing.
Horse racing. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. 5 sports enough for you? Good luck with all of them from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.